This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast.
Welcome back to Bahumia, everybody.
Bahumia.
I'm your dungeon master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
Stealing a bit shit in the dragon pit. Called her Gilday. I'm getting my ass kicked.
Emily Axford.
Newly emergent as a serpent usurping.
Eulalie.
I got so excited that I said Calliope.
Calliope. I thought you said Eulalie.
I'm going to say
that whenever you do a deception check. We're like, Eulalie Petrichor, please. And then, of course, Caldwell Tanner.
Stunning striker who looks great in a tie, sir. Saul Buffaut.
What?
You haven't gotten a chance to see him in a tie yet, but he looks really good.
I don't know that we've had the tie yet. Mm-hmm. It doesn't completely rhyme.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I would argue it doesn't rhyme at all, but let's say
a stretch and a slant.
Yeah.
Rhyme, which is interesting.
Right.
Yeah. Stretch and a slant.
I mean, but that's how I tie a tie is I stretch it out and then I do a little slant.
All right. He's doing the gymnastics to make
it
work.
He made it work.
It all checks out.
Yep.
He pulled it up.
Monks are good at gymnastics.
He pulled it up. And with that, let's go ahead and do a little recap. So last time, you snuck into the dragon summit at Labyrinth's old lair. There, Callie used a clairvoyance potion to spy and learn that Queen Umbraspor and Elzor had been kidnapped by the Greens. You snuck into the basement to free them, then donned the masks of their captors as you led them out into the Colosseum pit in false bindings.
Yeah.
Then, Glenfear Gladwin took center stage and addressed the arena, saying that he had a powerful new weapon that he could use to kill the king. Glenn unveiled a young green dragon in a strange mask that seemed to harness the power of the wild. Suddenly, though, you received a surge of power from Beatrix, who lit up the magic lanterns around the arena and set the whole place on fire. During the chaos, Umbraspor, Saul, and Calder leapt into action against the green dragon, while Callie chased Glenn down a magma tube.
Goodbye, Epi.
There you go.
I only do bad rhymes for myself.
Everything else is fucking gold.
Is that your
it's
mouth?
All uphill from the rhyme.
Yeah. He started low at the beginning of the episode. He can only go up. Callie emerged on the other side in a strange demiplane that appeared as a reflection of the arena you were just in. There, she saw the serpent weakened by an arcane collar and snatched out of the air by Venomol, the lead dragon of Glenn's order. Meanwhile, Saul and Calder were ambushed by the High Prince Cobalt. As they battled the adult blue dragon alongside Queen Umbraspor, Glenn revealed to Callie his true motives, war and chaos in the living wood. Glenn is a crick elf who became disenchanted after they hid their home away instead of conquering their enemies. Glenn believes his machinations will eventually be pinned on the crick, and he can lead them to war to finally prove their greatness. Callie was sympathetic and asked if she could just see the serpent. As she got close, though, she was able to outmaneuver Glenn and Venomol, slashing the collar from the serpent's neck and freeing it. As Callie and Foster mounted the serpent, Glenn shouted from the depths and Venomol pounced into action. And that's where we are now.
Fuck.
So... Oh.
Wait,
it's been a minute.
Can't be there now.
Why do you have a fucking look in your eye?
Because we are back in initiative, baby. Callie and Glenn have just gone. So she has used a bonus action to give a bardic to the serpent. She used her action to cut the collar from around its neck. It is now free and facing down Venomol. So both of you guys are kind of floating there. Glenn has already acted. He was too slow to hit Callie. The arrows kind of just plunked into the ground as you used your maneuvering flourish to move yourself 15 feet to the side. So free from this arcane restraint, the serpent is free to act, facing down Venomol. And it is beginning to charge its breath weapon as Venomol does the same, jumping up and rising to meet the serpent in the air. They are going to act on the same initiative which is right now.
Whoa.
Callie, is there... I mean, you don't really have a turn, but you can try to do something to bond with the serpent. It seems like you already have... This serpent already sees you as an ally, but not as, like, you know, its master or anything
like
that.
And I'm not trying to be that. I think that, truthfully, in this moment, I am just so happy that this little creature is free. And so I think I'm just clinging to its neck, and it will do as it will do.
You see, Foster, right next to you, is all puffed up, red eyes. The serpent's eyes are glowing red. You see that there is a projectile of poison breath shooting from Venomol's mouth that meets this dimension-altering breath of the serpent, sort of like a circle of storm, of lightning and vines. It looks like a tornado shooting from the serpent's mouth that sort of shifts reality around it. You see shocks of lightning, thorns and vines meet Venomol's poison breath, and there is just an explosion that envelops everyone in the arena, that envelops the serpent, envelops the dragon. Callie, I'm going to need you to do a con saving throw, and Venomol will do the same as you are both enveloped by your enemy's breath.
Okay. Ooh. Really bad. I got a 7.
Callie, you take 58 damage. It is the most pain you've ever felt. You're just hanging on. You feel your armor begins to rot away as this poison hits you. You try to hold your breath, but you instinctively kind of let out a gasp from the pain of like the acid and the poison breath hitting you. And you feel some like poison shoot up your nose, and you feel yourself begin to lose consciousness.
As I'm losing consciousness, I think I just cling to the little creature and I say, I'm not going to leave you again.
You cling onto the serpent. As you see your field of vision begins to narrow, you get tunnel vision, and then everything goes dark. And with that, we are going to cut back to...
Oh, come on.
Yeah! Time to get back to the main story, folks.
All right, what do we do? We're facing the dragon made of kobolds? Let's do that.
Yeah,
all right.
That dragon...
I'm not made of kobolds. Kobolt with a T.
You guys see the fires around the arena continue to grow. The dragons who were all fighting each other begin bailing and flying up towards the Caldara to safety. There's a thick fog of black smoke in the air, and the stadium seating at this point is completely obscured by flames. So you guys are just in this, in the one area of the arena that is not completely on fire because it's just ash. But even so, you are choking on the black smoke. It is a furnace in here. People are bailing and escaping. In fact, Calder, that is your turn. At the start of your turn, I'm going to need a con saving throw.
Okay.
That's a 5.
Okay.
Did I see Princess Shiverblight leave?
Go ahead and give me a perception check.
So funny.
That's a 24.
As you hack and cough and take 25 damage.
Oh god, I'm so close to being
of fire damage. You look up and you see Princess Shiverblight flying up into the black smoke.
Galkarn, what the fuck? Where's the fucking fire exit? Shit!
as she flies up towards the Caldara.
All right. At
she
least she
looks
got
like
out.
She's gonna be just fine.
As always.
However, you do see, as Umberspore and Cobalt are kind of going toe-to-toe, you see Cobalt looks hurt. Umberspore looks more hurt. Cobalt has his teeth around Umberspore's neck and looks at you, Calder, as you bring your blade towards him and goes,
"This fight is over. Sheath your blade or I'll stick my teeth into her neck."
I totally agree. The fight is over. It's just not going the way that you think it's going. I'm going to swing my sword at him.
Sick.
Hell yeah.
Ooh, that is a 28 and a 20 to hit.
Both hit.
Great.
Yes.
20 damage.
High Prince Cobalt is injured, but still kicking.
Okay. I will use my bonus action to inspire Queen Umberspore and say, the old princess who I pledged myself to just fled, so...
Just Shiverblight? Why are you talking about her? You're obsessed.
I'm not obsessed.
Is that why you're crying?
I'm sweating. It's really hot in here. I'm trying to say I pledge myself to you, Queen Umberspore. Let me be your knight and finish this dragon off.
She gives a little nod to you, and as she does, you see spores rain down from the mushrooms on her head, sprinkling a magic blessing on you.
Request granted!
And she is going to go ahead and take a crack at Cobalt.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, this is going to come down to the rolls. Oh, because he's got a chunky enough amount of HP that he could survive this.
Oh, God.
You get him down to 20 HP. Queen Umberspore is going to use her reaction to attack. You see she launches up at him. She's got a +9 to hit. He's got 19 AC. Calder, give me that roll. It's got to be a 10 or higher.
Oh,
and then we'll
God
do the damage.
Oh, no.
I'm so stressed
out. Come on, Queen.
Oh, you're fucking kidding me.
That's a 9.
Oh, no. Calder.
Can I use the helm on her attack?
You hear...
Oh.
A voice in your head go,
we could make this work. What is it going to require? Oh, she needs what? A little push? Just a little push. 6 charges worth, maybe.
Calder, you're talking to your helmet again. What are you doing?
Done.
You take on another 6 charges. That's 10 charges on the helm. Saul, you watch as... Calder takes on a decidedly more giant look. You see his skin turns bluer, his hair begins to gray, and he briefly stops looking like himself as he commands Queen Umberspore to do this attack.
You're really messed up about Shiverblight, huh?
Yeah, your first is always the toughest.
Go ahead and roll damage now. We got to do 20 damage. So it's
okay. All right.
3d10, and then it's going to be +5.
All right. 23.
23!
Yeah! Thanks for the math help, Emily.
You see, there's like a wave of magical energy from your helm that pushes him directly in line with her bite. She bites into his neck. begins just choking.
Unleash all of those little kobolds.
And she grabs at his neck and then just begins pounding his head into the ground. As you see, she just fucking rips his throat out.
My queen.
You see, Prince Cobalt had like a few young blue dragons that were around that were fighting with like Elzor and stuff. They see Cobalt dead. They fucking retreat. They just disengage. Queen Umberspore goes to take off, but her wings look injured.
No.
And she just goes, you have to go. Leave me.
Can we do anything, Saul? We have healing potions.
Can I give her a flying potion?
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow. Saul's like patting down his pockets. You see so many tubes of Go-Gurt just falling out. It's like, it's gotta be here somewhere. Oh, here it is. Hands her a flying potion.
You hand her a flying potion, and she looks at you kind of quizzically.
A dragon taking a flying potion seems strange, but that'll work.
She launches forward, just eats the whole fucking thing. Just eats the fucking glass. You see she begins floating in the air despite having badly damaged wings at the moment. You see Elzor yells down to you guys.
We'll watch her and we'll get her out.
Yeah.
Are you coming with us?
We have to find Callie.
Yeah, she went down that tube.
Okay, good luck.
We'll catch up with you later.
We'll catch up with you later.
Yeah. I mean, he's pledged to your mom. Now, so like we're probably gonna see each other again.
Yeah. Great work, we're siblings now.
Amazing.
I didn't know you could be siblings.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
You see, Elzor and Igneous take off with Queen Umberspore up towards the Caldara. You see, Bumpy is there. Bumpy goes,
all right, let's get to that tube.
Yes, sir.
Hi-oh, Bumpy.
Bumpy begins wild shaping, turns himself into a horse with a bowl cut, and scoops the two of you up. As you rush towards the magma tube where you saw Callie running.
Before we go, what happened to the muzzle?
Oh, you can grab it if you want. Like, it's shattered. It's fucked up from being in that fight. But yeah, you can.
I just don't think we should leave evidence like this around.
Sick.
So yeah.
You pull it off the corpse of the green dragon before you hop on Bumpy. Mm-hmm. And you take it with you.
Great.
Awesome. You guys see, as you're going through this tube, in the deep distance, you can see light, but strangely, it's getting smaller as you get closer to it. You also notice vines along the wall that are beginning to pull away and retract towards the light. And Bumpy shouts up to you guys, "There's a gate ahead, but it's closing.
Quick, get through the vent."
"Gateway gate to where?"
"To the crick."
That's the crick?
Oh.
All right, full speed ahead.
Yeah, you're the one running.
All right, I'm trying.
You see, Bumpy doubles down, just running as fast as he can, just full sprint, full gallop, rushes towards the light and narrowly is able to jump in before it closes. The three of you crash into the dirt as you land in the open air. And you guys find yourself in a strange reflection of the arena. The top of the volcano is broken off. This looks more like ruins with grass and overgrowth everywhere, and it's eerily quiet.
This is the crick, huh?
Yeah. Was there a crick elf somewhere that... You said this is the way Callie went.
That's the way I saw her come.
Go ahead and give me perception checks.
Damn, I just can't stop rolling fives.
Jeez.
I feel the same way, but times four, nat 20.
Whoa! Woo!
That's awesome for you, man. That's so sick.
Saul, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah. You want to see my dice?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Saul, you see camouflaged amongst all of this overgrowth is the fossilized body of an adult dragon covered in vines and leaves. This massive beast, just devoid of flesh, just perfectly maintained skeleton here in the ruins. And nearby in the tall grass, you see that Foster is locking eyes with a 8-foot-long silver serpent that seems to be in a trance. And next to them, Calliope is lying unconscious but breathing.
Callie!
Callie!
Yeah, we rush over.
Sweet. You rush Healing over to Callie.
At the ready.
Double potions ready to jam both in our mouth.
Sweet. Icy cold.
You feed Callie a potion, and Callie, you wake up. You see your friends above you. You're no longer on top of the serpent. You're kind of resting up against it. It seems like, yeah, the serpent is locked eyes with Foster, and it seems like Foster is kind of just keeping it calm, making sure it doesn't run away while you're knocked out, and they're both just kind of looking at each other.
Is that the thing? Is that the serpent?
Yeah, this is what hatched from the egg. Where's Glenn? Where's Venomal?
Is that corpse Venomal?
Is it?
Can I check and see if, like, I see a humanoid figure amidst the corpse?
Go ahead and both of you guys give me investigation checks as you look around.
That is a 23.
There you go, Holmes. And Frogson got a 14.
So, Frogson and Holmes, you guys case the area, this reflection of the arena, the crick. And as you go around, you first check out this fossilized dragon, and you do see that at the very bottom, as if they were peeled away by the sheer force of the serpent's breath, you do find some green scales at the bottom, like near the corpse.
Callie, what'd you do?
I don't know. I looked at the silver serpent. I want to see, like, does it have a look on its face of, like, smug satisfaction or horror or fear?
You see, the serpent is eyes locked with Foster, and they are both just in a trance. Foster just goes,
"Wow, they're really vibing." What is the serpent saying?
The serpent is not saying anything. The serpent is just sort of idling, just levitating, yeah. And just moving its tail in the air and looking just hypnotized.
I think I pet it and I say, "I don't know what happens."
I guess just keep doing whatever you're doing, Foster and Callie, because if that's the thing that did that to that dragon, we need to avoid that happening again at all cost.
And we didn't see any evidence of Glenn, did we?
So I'll say, with an above 20 check, you walk around, and I'll say Callie can kind of point out where she saw the arrows coming from. Mm-hmm. You go through some of the tunnels. And you do find one that smells of sandalwood as you walk in.
Wow.
And you find a note posted on the side of it.
This guy left, has notes.
Looks like it was stabbed into the wall with an arrow.
Is this one to me?
And this one just says, "War is coming to the Crick. I win."
Well, that one, he must have wrote that in a rush.
Okay, so I saw Glenn, or rather I heard him, and this is all by his design. He's a Crick elf.
What? Bumpy? Glenn is Bumpy? Glenn's a Crick elf?
Yes, I don't know what his original name was, but he's a Crick elf, and he got frustrated with the fact that the Crick wasn't standing up for itself and was getting such like a bad lot in this forest, and his whole plan was to like start war, like basically have the Crick invaded and then defend it and best everyone else.
Shit. Well, it's kind of working.
Yeah, we gotta warn the Crick.
It was effective.
Yeah,
but
that arena was an ugly scene.
But he couldn't make a weapon of this one. And I point to the silver serpent.
But there are there two more?
So we think.
I only had one egg. I think that there might be two other eggs, like, elsewhere.
Okay,
yeah.
Entirely. Maybe back in the Feywild. Maybe entirely undiscovered.
But if he's just trying to get the Crick invaded so that he can attack everyone, it kind of doesn't matter either way if he has a weapon or not. War is coming.
Yeah.
Is there anyone we need to tell?
Yeah, we gotta tell Meemaw. We gotta tell everybody.
All right. Yeah, let's get going. We're in the Crick right now, aren't we? Can we get there from here?
Yeah, we can get there from here.
Wait, this is the Crick?
Oh, yeah. check it out. You see up there? They're pretty far off. They were probably kind of scared by the fight. That's called a nanner fly.
Hey. Wow. Why does it have so many teeth?
Yeah, no, they're pretty vicious. They'll, you know, you fall asleep outside, they'll try to eat you. It's usually not fatal, but they usually don't go for the, veins.
Okay.
You can have a nibble.
But yeah, you see these like lightning bug looking bugs with these like big hooked butts that glow yellow.
Wow. There's a mushroom over there smoking a pipe. How fun.
Can I take out a jar and collect a couple nanoflies?
Go ahead and give me a nature
it's
check.
It's so pretty. 12. Is that how many I collect?
I'll say you catch one nanorfly.
Wow.
I think I look at the silver serpent who was like put in bondage against its will, and I just open up the jar and let it fly.
The nanorfly flies off, and Bumpy goes,
"Should we get going to the Crick then?"
Yeah. What should we know before we go?
Yeah, what should I wear?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Uh-huh.
Hey, you guys are a little too dressed up right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Saul takes off his jacket and ties it around his waist.
There you go. This guy knows that's a Crick if I ever seen one.
Sure. I do the same thing. I rub honey on my tits so that a bunch of nanorflies gather around and I wear nanorflies.
Yep. Normal. Normal stuff. Yep, nanorfly bikinis.
How did you know they would do that?
I didn't actually. I was trying to wear a honey bikini.
Callie, it really seems like you've gotten more and more in touch with the wild.
Actually, Saul, that is very true.
Saul's just getting bit to shit by nanorflies.
Yeah, so Bumpy motions for you guys to follow him, and he starts heading off away from the arena.
I tear the sleeves off my track jacket, and I go after Bumpy.
As you guys go to leave, is there anything you'd like to do with the serpent, Callie?
I mean, I think maybe I just pick up Foster and hope that the serpent is like entranced and is going to follow Foster.
You see the serpent begins to follow Foster as you guys begin walking along following Bumpy. As the serpent starts to get close to Calder and Saul and Bumpy, you see for a moment it... breaks out of its trance and goes to like go after it, but Foster is able to calm it down.
Okay, so like stay within Foster's cone of vision.
Okay, I can give this thing a wide berth. Walk very far ahead or very far behind.
Everyone walk ahead, and I'll just walk and be like petting it, getting it used to the idea that like not every human is Glenn.
Yeah.
Not everyone is Glenn. We need to remember that.
I need to remember that when I start dating again.
Yeah.
But if just one other person could have his shoulders.
He was handsome and defined.
Yeah.
I look at Calder's shoulders, which are still giant and blue. Yeah, man. If only.
You don't have the definition.
A swimmer's body in the forest. He doesn't even need it.
Yeah, you know, generally people at the creek, I would know them, but I gotta be honest. Back in the day, there were a lot of people that were upset that we weren't gonna stick around and fight.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you remember any?
Who was the most upset?
Or who was the cleverest?
Cleverest?
Yeah. Mm. Or did somebody, like, die, but it was always suspicious that they died?
That happens all the time. Nanterflies just eat people at night.
You said it wasn't usually lethal.
Usually fatal, but I've been around a long time, man. I'm an elf. I've seen...
Get him off my... Kelly! Get him off your tits!
Yeah, that's a fast track to get gills, to get...
Shoo!
Yeah.
Shoo!
They start to fly away.
I think it's fine. She's got, like, a boob beard going on.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, but Bumpy thinks about it and goes,
honestly, there were a lot of people that were upset about it. Some people did leave the creek. I can't think of anyone in particular that would be more mad than the others. But, okay. You know, it was decided on by our old folks circle. So they did represent our interest. Most of us just wanted peace and just wanted to be left alone. But there was a contingency that was quite upset. So hearing about Glenn or whatever the fuck his actual name is... not surprising.
I should have known. Glen Fearglade when it's like too perfect.
Yeah, it's like a Glen and he's also in the woods.
Yeah, it's like the shoulders of a name.
Yeah.
The thing is, everything about him is perfect though, so why wouldn't the name be? Like, it worked.
Yeah.
He must have a team, like workshopping all this, right?
It's like a forest, be afraid of it, because I do weird stuff in the forest. Right. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm in the forest and I'm going to win.
Yeah.
Like, that's, come on.
Right.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Who writes this stuff?
It's brilliant.
Whoever writes it, oh, man.
Right, Glenn is hot, Yummy. But the writer?
Everyone gets inspiration.
Yeah!
Yeah, Bumpy continues along, takes you guys towards the, he's calling this area the Crick. What he means is that this is, he can tell that this is the demiplane. It's like between the Feywild and the material plane. He's taking you towards like the town center now.
As we're going, can I just do some magic on this serpent so that it feels like the feeling of being supported?
Yeah.
Because I think I feel really bad.
Yeah.
I feel really guilty. So
See that it doesn't look like Foster's like casting a spell on it. It looks like Foster's comforting it.
Mm.
Like Foster.
That's what I want to do. So I
they're
think
in
I
a
just,
trance together, kind of.
I think that I want to, all I really have is like Shield of Faith.
Okay.
But I think I just want to like create like a bunch of thistles or like stinging nettle, like a little cage so that he feels safe.
Sweet. Yeah, you hold your hand out, you cast this spell on the serpent. Go ahead and give me, I'll say you can use like your spell casting modifier, like charisma plus proficiency.
Okay, I think I just say like, I'm really, really, really sorry. That is a 26.
26, ooh. Jesus. Yeah, Callie, you see that as you cast the spell on it, its eyes break from, it was red looking at Foster, kind of in a trance with Foster. But eyes break away. It's got like these like yellow green eyes, turns and looks at you and sort of cocks its head.
Hi, honey.
And begins wrapping around you.
Callie,
is that?
Can you breathe?
Is that good?
Is that like a snake showing affection, or is that like a snake crush you?
I think it's the same thing.
Is
unfortunately,
that the same thing?
I can't breathe, but it's because I'm overcome with joy.
you feel the serpent wraps around you, and then sort of bumps you with its tail, puts you on its back.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Well, I just keep kind of like trying to put this like loving magic into it.
And you see, Kelly, you get a feeling of the way that you can kind of sense Foster's emotions or Foster's like reactions to things. You begin to feel it calming down and starting to look at Calder and Saul, like taking on your emotions towards them.
Okay.
Like looking less vicious.
Then if there is some sort of emotional link, then I also look at Calder and I think like big, strong, brave. And I look at...
Calder waves. Hi.
my sibling who I kind of want to beat up a little bit. You've
got a little blood on your face.
Good serpent. Oh, really? Where?
Everywhere.
I look at Saul and I'm like, wily, clever, handsome. Super hot. God, he looks really hot after battle. Okay. Don't think of that.
You see that all of the nanorflies are biting Saul's abs.
They're even more puffed out now.
Wow, such a ripped rash.
With the last bits of my spectral visage, I'm going to use Word of the Spirit and speak to the serpent and say, friends, not Glens.
Friends, not Glens. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see the serpent's eyes go from like kind of narrowed to like open and curious.
And I think maybe as we're going, I might say, we're going to try and take you back to Oberon if you want.
As you say the name Oberon, you feel the serpent start to go a little faster.
Mm. Okay. Is it like slithering along the ground?
It's like levitating. So it's like right above the ground, but it's levitating. Yeah,
wow.
That's rad. That's awesome.
Oh, like the sunlight's catching its silver scales.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'll say even you guys, you guys feel it warm up to you guys a little bit. And I'll say Calder and Saul, if you guys want, you guys can hop onto the back of this thing. You guys kind of feel it inviting you.
Bumpy, is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Do you want to ride as well?
No, I'm a horse.
That you are, my friend. I'll hop on.
Yeah, I'll hop on too, and I'll put a cold hand on the serpent's neck where the collar was.
You see its scales are like a little bit damaged there, and as you put your cold hands there, it seems to almost polish them, like clean off some of the wound.
All right. So do we name this serpent, or does it have a name already? I don't understand how dragons work, really.
I think that maybe it... I don't think I'm going to name it because I feel like everyone else was trying to use it. And the last thing I want to do is ask anything of it.
Yeah. So like nickname territory.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
We could do like Pinochle Jr.
Pinochle Jr. is good.
So you guys ride along in the serpent behind Bumpy.
PJ.
As you go through. Bumpy's kind of pointing out stuff in the forest as you guys go along.
Yep, those are more nanorflies. That over there, those are chipmunks.
You see, they are really going at it.
Yeah, two chipmunks fucking killing each other.
Can I cast speak with animals on the fucking chipmunks?
Yeah.
Hey there.
Wait, are they fucking or fucking killing each
other? They're fucking killing each other.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I was kind of in a fight there.
Yeah, who's winning?
I did, because I can talk. I used a magic spell to win.
Wow.
Yeah, I know fireball.
You cast fireball.
I cast fireball.
Good for you.
It's a cute little fireball.
All right,
and
get
it
on.
Burns people.
I scoop him.
All right.
Wow, we're collecting animals.
This chipmunk comes along with you, leaves the roasted corpse of another chipmunk that I cast fireball on.
We're going to call you P3.
P3PO.
The Mighty Monks.
P3PO.
P3PO is very good.
You guys eventually, as you start to get close to the, you begin to like hear stuff in the distance and you think you're starting to get close to like the actual town.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you guys start to see scouts overhead, like Crick Elf dragon riders young black dragons and dragonelles flying overhead. You see Bumpy turns from a horse back into his Crick Elf self and starts waving,
"Hey, we need some help down here."
And you see as these guys swoop down to approach, the serpent goes to a launch up.
I'm whispering. No, you're safe. I promise. I'm going to make it right. You are safe. You are absolutely safe. No one will get to you. They will have to come through me first.
Yeah.
Go ahead and give me another spell casting check. You can do it with advantage because you got the whole team helping you out.
Yeah, freezing cold hands on this thing.
Oh, nat 20. Yeah! Nat 20. I didn't even need the advantage.
Okay. This thing calms down. It goes to like launch up and then it sort of recoils and goes down towards the ground. The serpent is like snarling, essentially like wants to protect you guys. And you see the dragon riders go,
"I protect you.
The hell are you bringing here, Bumpy?
We're just his friends."
"No, I'm not talking about you guys.
Oh, sorry.
Welcome to the creek. Nice to meet all of you."
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. You might have met me before. It's unclear. Saul Buffo.
No. Okay. Name doesn't mean anything to me. But nice to meet you. And Bumpy goes,
Okay, the serpent is a little bit dangerous. It might be better if you got Meemaw and you brought her out here.
Yeah.
And we figure it out here instead of in the town square.
Just nobody get in front of the duck beam. The duck beam is crucial.
Duck beam. All right. I don't know. The serpent looks kind of cool. Can I meet your snake?
No. It could fossilize you almost instantly.
Fossilize me. All right. Well, I don't want to be fossilized. All right. We'll go get Meemaw. You see they fly off. There's some Crick Elves on the outskirts here. You see they begin to poke their heads out of their stumps. Hey, Bumpy, what you got there?
Stay away from the serpent. Can I meet your snake? Absolutely not.
God, everyone here is
everyone
dangerous.
Stay out there.
Is that like a Barnes & Noble that we could just do a meet and greet at? Because I think everyone's going to want to meet this thing.
Yeah, well, I can start a meet and greet for the snake if you want.
Nobody's doing a meet and greet with the snake. It's going to be meet and heat because it's going to be breathing fire on you.
That's meet and eat.
Bumpy, that's
yeah,
really
meet
mean.
And eat.
Okay,
accurate.
But actually, though, I do think that they deserve a meet and greet.
All right. Starts walking towards the serpent.
No. At a later time.
All right. Well, you got to specify that.
Yeah. Just go and prepare your house because you're going to have guests over.
All right.
Yeah, we're doing it at your house.
We're going door to door.
I got to clean up.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Hey, what's your name?
Petrie.
That's Petrie. A different Petrie. Say Petrie.
Okay.
Yeah. Finally, you guys see a Crick Elf woman ride in on a black dragonel. She wears a green cloak. She's got white hair with a streak of red. She's got freckles and kind of crow's feet at the edge of her eyes, but otherwise looks ageless. You see the dragonel lands and she dismounts.
Welcome to the Crick, travelers. My name is Jolene Sobbin, and I'm the Meemaw around here.
Oh.
Hello, Jolene.
Nice to meet you.
Yes. Thank you for your hospitality.
Yes.
Of course. Now, who's this little guy we got here?
You see, she goes to walk up to the serpent.
Whoa.
And it's all right. It's all right. As she goes to walk up, serpent starts to rear back, but quickly just warms up to her. And she goes up and is just able to pet it right away.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it tried to turn us into stone bones earlier.
Yeah,
that'll happen.
It's a very powerful magical creature that has a breath weapon that turns people, like, accelerates time, changes reality.
All right, so this is what was responsible for the High Prince Periwinkle situation?
Yeah.
We had... She explains that Junior and Petrie, the two guys that were traveling with Bumpy...
Mm-hmm.
She explains that they made it back to the Crick, and she's been kind of filled in on the stuff. She doesn't know that, like, the egg hatched or anything like that, but she generally kind of knows your guys' deal.
Uh-huh.
And you must be Calliope, Calder, and Saul?
Saul Buffaut.
Saul Buffaut, old friend of the Crick, I hear.
Yeah, about that, Saul fills her in on the whole situation as best as he knows.
Well, isn't that fun?
Yeah.
You see, she pets the serpent. She goes like, well, this little guy is quite sweet, but we can't have him eating up our youngins.
Yeah, I think we haven't really talked about it, the three of us.
Right,
but
yeah.
I kind of think we should try to bring it to the Beastlands and maybe give it a chance to just live its own life.
Yeah, Bumpy said that he was close personal friends with Oberon.
Yeah.
She narrows her eyes and looks at Bumpy. Are you good friends with Oberon?
No, I said that I was friends of friends that, like, you're friends with Oberon.
Oh, right. Well, I've spoken to Oberon. I would say Oberon is a distant acquaintance, if anything.
Okay.
I mean, it's been decades.
Okay, but distance... I mean, to say to a distant acquaintance, hey, I found your child.
Yeah.
They'd probably be
receptive.
They'd probably
want to know. I'd want to know.
Come get your snake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come get your snake. Yeah.
After the meet and greet.
Mm-hmm. Which we are going to charge for.
That's a great idea.
We got to buy potions. Come on.
Well, I can get you to the Beastlands, get you an audience with Oberon.
Really?
Yeah. We do stuff like that. Hell, I helped move this whole fucking place to a different plane.
Holy shit.
You're crazy.
Saul bows.
Yeah, okay. You don't need to bow. It's all right.
I just pledged myself to Queen Umbersport, but I'm feeling like this is a better...
Calder,
you have to stop
trading
up. I feel
like you're kind of a fuckboy. You pledge yourself to every fucking woman you meet.
Calder takes a knee. Queen Umbersport will understand.
How are you bowing lower than me?
I pledge myself.
All right, well, that's nice. Nice to meet you, too. But yeah, if I do a certain ritual, it'll take me a little while to get the components and everything, but I should be able to take you tomorrow morning.
Okay. Oh, that's great. And before we go, there's some news from the Living
Wood. Just a little tidbit that you might want to know about.
All right.
There's trouble brewing.
Something's amiss?
Deeply amiss.
You saying something ain't right?
Very, very right.
From your history that has been sowing the seeds of war.
It's intentionally amiss.
It's intentionally amiss.
You see, someone, he calls himself Glenn, and he's actually a crick elf that's estranged himself from this beautiful place, and he's been trying to get everyone angry at the crick elves so that they would invade.
Yeah. Bumpy mentioned that there were some dissenters back in the day. I don't know if you've kept tabs on any of them, but it seems like one of those rotten seeds has grown into a whole grove of bad
stuff.
A real shit bush.
Guys, go ahead and give me insta checks.
Shout out to the three little turds.
Okay.
Dirty 20, which is appropriate for the crick.
I got a 10.
Callie, I'll say she kind of tries to keep it to herself, but she looks like she knows the score a little bit. You know, at the very least, because she sent Bumpy and Petrie and Junior out to scout to find out about the fake Void Elf attacks, she knew they were in danger and that they may have to defend themselves, that the time may come when war came to the crick. But you also get the sense that she might know who Glenn is. But she kind of just nods and goes.
I think I lean in and I say, he smells like sandalwood. If that jogs any memories.
I think I have an idea who he might be.
Is there anything we can do to help? I mean, it's nice of you to take us to the Beastlands, but I don't think we can leave the crick knowing that it's in danger.
Well, if what Petrie and Junior told me is true, I imagine whatever happens will take a minute for it to come together. I think we've got a few days at least.
All right. Okay. So we can go drop off the kid and then head back here.
All right. Why don't I stay here with this little guy? We can get the ritual started. We can make sure that this guy doesn't go off causing trouble. Bumpy, if you want to take them into the crick, you can do that. Or you can stay here with me. See, Bumpy goes,
do you guys have a preference? Do you guys think Pinochle Jr. needs another buddy? What do you think?
I kind of promised him that I wouldn't leave him again. So I think I've got to stay with him.
Hell, I'd take a drink in the crick.
All right. Why don't a couple of us go in? Callie can stay here with me, Mom. And we'll bring you back some food.
Yeah, it seems like the serpent is safe here. I'm kind of interested in seeing where I used to live. That's a weird thing to say, but I imagine I had a house here, or at least a place where I slept. I would love to kind of revisit the steps of myself.
Oh, you were more just passing through the Living Wood, and I came to you, so you weren't in the crick.
Oh, okay.
Specifically. So this will be a first for you.
Oh, great.
There are crick bullywugs here, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would love to, you know what? Oh, do they ever do a little chorus?
Yeah, time to time, I suppose.
And I got a taste for crick water these days, so I wouldn't mind wetting the nostrils.
All right.
Yeah, we're all getting in touch with our wild side a little bit. I'm going to go meet these crick bullywugs.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content, all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful, beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want, and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here. I'm recording this ad literally hours before going to the airport on a trip to visit some family in New York. And if you're wondering, no, I have not packed my bags yet. Packing stresses me the hell out because I have to do wardrobe math about how many shirts and pants and underwear to bring. And let me tell you, folks, I always get it wrong and I always pack too much. That being said, there is one thing that always goes into my suitcase without a second thought, and that is my Raycon Everyday Earbuds. Raycon offers amazing audio quality at half the price of other premium audio brands. And Raycon's optimized gel tips are designed to fit comfortably in your ears and actually stay there. Which is good because it means I can go on a jog and not worry about them falling out and getting sucked into a sewer grate. Although I guess that's probably how the Ninja Turtles get their earbuds, so if some mutant creature living in the sewer happens to get them, I guess that wouldn't be too bad. But thanks to Raycon, it's not something I ever even need to concern myself with. So, if you're also going on a trip soon and are looking to bring along the perfect pair of earbuds, go to buyraycon.com/pawpaw today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That is right, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's buyraycon.com/pawpaw. All right, thanks for listening and have a great trip. Bye-bye.
All right, and Callie, you're going to stick around here?
Yeah, but I do need a quick water.
Yeah, you want me to grab you anything in town? Quick water? Anything else? Souvenir?
Pizza.
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 What is that?
I don't know. I said a nonsense word.
That's so funny.
Is that a spell?
I'm going to use that in town, and people are going to look at me like I'm insane.
So Saul, Bumpy, and Calder walk off towards the town. You guys enter the Crick Town Square. Fight a huge bonfire in the center. You hear the bubbling sounds of the creek flowing nearby. You see young children running around, getting way too close to the fire and playing with it. Touch the fire! Touch the fire!
Are there any chaperones anywhere?
You see a 10-year-old watching an 8-year-old.
That's me. Wait a minute. These kids look happy and like not downtrodden by society. What's going on here?
Young kids are running, chasing each other around, fighting with sticks, just being wild.
That one has a really big stick.
Yeah, and it's on fire. Yeah. Hey, careful with that one, Petrie.
Why is everyone named Petrie?
You see all of the stumps are connected by ropes and like rope ladders and stuff so they can enter from above. You see the ropes have magic lanterns on them that turn on as the sun begins to go down. You see the biggest tree of all is this massive hollow out one that goes up so high it bursts through the canopy. The trunk is so wide that it effectively acts as a massive building. Bumpy points that out as being the grandma tree.
Calder sketches all of this in a little sketchbook to show to Callie.
Whoa, you're an artist?
No, it's all stick figures of kids lighting themselves
it's
on
okay.
fire.
Callie has a very active imagination. She can fill in what you can.
I think she'll get it.
You see that people are pouring out. There are people singing and playing music. People are bringing out drinks and cooking meals. Lots of dragons and wormlings about. Mostly black dragons, but you do see that there are dragons of different colors, including a pretty big contingency of red ones. You also see Crick Bullywugs. Unlike ones you might see in like the swamps elsewhere, these guys have like brighter colors, like oranges and yellows and neon greens. Like they look very poisonous. And amongst the elves and wormlings, you see a large possum holding court with a bunch of people. And as you get closer, she hops down from a stump and approaches you.
Greetings and welcome to the Crick, my children. I am Mama, familiar of Meemaw.
God damn, should I pledge myself?
It's just been too many times, man. You're gonna look desperate. It's gonna like...
Have you pledged yourself to several other people today?
Calder goes down to both knees.
Guilty as charged. But let me pledge myself again to the true queen.
You gotta get up, man.
That's all right. We have no kings or queens at the Crick.
That's exactly what I want.
You can pledge yourself to as many people as you'd like.
Oh, that's amazing.
We gotta unpack this, bud.
Is this like a fetish thing, or should we be concerned?
Verdict's out.
Okay.
Crush me.
I refuse.
This is the one mystery that Holmes can't solve.
I don't know what's going on, Mama.
Let's just get some crick water.
Yeah, you see,
that's a good idea.
Mama gestures. This is the grandma tree. Feel free to partake in any food or drink. You may also wrestle with any consenting adult.
Oh.
You just see a guy nearby goes, hey, what's your deal, dude? You want to wrestle?
I consent.
He just goes for a takedown instantly. Give me an athletics check.
Not the knee.
I got a shout out to the two crew.
That's a 17.
Okay. Yes.
He goes for a double leg takedown and knocks himself out on your knee.
Oh, I wasn't ready.
He is small.
Yeah, okay.
He was too small to fight such a large man.
Thank you for saying that I'm large.
What?
Yes, welcome to the Crick. Feel free. Also, if you'd like to introduce yourselves on the speaking stump, because you do see a bunch of people lined up to, like, shake your hand.
It's the meet and greet. It's happening.
Yeah,
it's
meet and greet. Hey.
You go ahead.
Me first? Yeah. Okay. Saul Buffo, a bullywug from Esri. Beep, 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 beep.
You hear a chorus of bullywugs return.
A tear comes to Saul's eye. It's a home I never knew. Saul takes a huge chug of crick water and then does a backflip.
You're supposed to smell it.
Huh?
Calder jumps up on the stump and says, Calder Kilday, the half-giant of the ice knife. And I call my sword and shoot an ice beam into the air.
Whoa, holy fucking shit.
You see, I should start yelling and laughing, and somebody goes, all right, fire versus ass, and just throws a flaming stick near you.
Where's your babysitter?
It's me. I'm the babysitter.
You're 9.
Everyone's cheering.
Calder, if you lose this, you're never coming back.
And then amongst all of the cheering, as you guys are up on the speaking stump, you do hear one guy pipes up. You see this big crick bullywug, orange and kind of wide, taller than a lot of the other bullywugs, looks up and goes,
how do we know you ain't a spy?
Bumpy vouched for us.
Yeah, come on, I vouched for him. They're up on the speaking stump.
It's Bumpy.
Everyone kind of starts yelling back at this guy, shut up, Emmett, you're annoying.
Yeah, all right.
How about this? If I wrestle you and beat you, we're not spies. The logic doesn't hold, but I think it'd be fun.
You see this big meathead looks around and goes, yeah, that fucking makes sense to me.
All right, that's all great plan, but what if he kicks your ass?
Okay, I didn't think that through. Okay. I'll probably just do what I normally do and run.
All right, great. That won't make us look guilty at all.
What are you doing, Saul?
You see this very strong bullywug that looks stronger than you goes up to wrestle you. Go ahead and give me a contested athletics check.
13.
Okay.
Calder, I didn't think this through.
Well, no, it's going to be fine.
It just looked fun when you were wrestling.
If he beats you, then we're spies, and your plan is to run away.
You got a 13?
Yeah.
Okay. It's got a +7 to athletics. He rolls a 6 or higher, he beats Saul. I'm going to roll this in front of the table. Shout out to the two. It's way too close of a fight. You wrestle back and forth. You see this guy is overpowering Saul, starting to push him down, but kind of leaves his legs open. Saul, you're able to drop down, grab like an ankle pick. He is off balance, and you are able to knock him down. And everybody starts cheering. And you see this dude, somebody called him Emmett. Emmett gets up and goes, get the fuck off me.
All right, man. Hey, the best way to learn the truth about a person is through their sweat, feeling it, knowing it, fighting together, and seeing the truth within yourself. We have fought. You know me.
Give me a persuasion check with disadvantage.
Calder starts a slow clap.
See, everyone's baffled. What are his strange ways?
That is a nat 20 and an 18, so I guess I got to take 18. And then my persuasion is +2, so that's going to be a dirty 20.
You see, Emmett starts crying.
Fuck if he ain't wrong.
This whole thing shouldn't be working as well as it is.
He goes and he hugs Saul deeply and just weeps.
I forgot my hospitality.
Your skin is very poisonous.
I know. I know. And so was my attitude.
Callie has an imagination, but she's not going to believe any of this stuff.
You do see Bumpy comes up to you and whispers in your ear,
Emmett's kind of a dick. Yeah, no, I... Clearly. Right. Why are you guys such good friends with Emmett already?
I don't know. I beat him and then he got like really weepy and he started apologizing to me.
You see Emmett's just hovering near you.
I was wrong.
I kind of see him as like a project now.
I would love to focus on other people at the court.
You see like Mama looks creeped out by you guys. You see the other people that were all rushing over to say hi and everything are now like,
are they friends with Emmett? Emmett spit on me yesterday. Emmett.
They're hanging out with us, we're hanging out with them. All right. Salt, we need to give some distance between us and Emmett.
Yeah, Emmett, we're going to get into this later.
Yeah, we're going to take a lap, Emmett.
We're going to get into this later, but we're also going to get into this now. Ain't that just the best part about being friends?
Saul's like desperately trying to like break the grasp.
I want to go get you two a drink.
Yeah, that'd be
give
great.
Give me an order and I'll come back in a bit.
I guess Crick water?
You got it, yeah. Emmett.
That's
you
my
too?
Favorite drink.
Calder backs away.
Calder backs off. You see Bumpy and Mama go with Calder. It's just Emmett and Saul as like the crowd starts to walk away from you guys.
What have I done?
Meanwhile, we're going to cut back to Callie and Meemaw. So Callie, you see Meemaw is there with you preparing the ritual for tomorrow. You see she's enchanting, making sort of like a teleportation circle thing with some rocks, enchanting some crick water, and she's sort of talking to you as you sit there with the serpent. And she goes, you already got a little bit of a bond with that guy, huh?
Well, I mean, I think when I first met it, like, I mean, both when it was an egg, I think we were both really vulnerable. So we like both really attached to each other. And then I think when I met it just now, I definitely, I felt really bad. So I think that I put a lot of positive emotions onto it. Mm. Just kind of saying like, I'll never leave you. And I promise I'll make this right. And kind of actually sounding like a bad lover now that I'm saying it. God, this is what Glenn said to me. Fuck. Since it's just the two of us, could I ask, it seemed like you have an idea of who Glenn was. And the reason I ask is because I had like a whole romantic relationship with this guy. So I'm just kind of curious about who he really is. Just because I had such intimacy with him.
Right. Well, Glenn used to be called Sawyer, and he was a young crick elf that was fiery, that had the best intentions, wanted to protect his people.
So he did start with good intentions. Because that's kind of like what I found myself asking is like, is this an idealist who compromised himself one too many times? Or is this a fucking egomaniac who's just marauding as some kind of hero? But really, it's all just about power. And he's just dressing it up in righteous robes.
Well, I think
both things can be true. I don't know where he's at right now. I haven't spoken to him about 50 years. He is the son of a couple of friends of mine. And that friend used to be part of the old folks circle. And together we kind of decide on how we're going to deal with issues that come up around the crick. Now, back in the day, as more dragons arrived and were being born, the elves started to split up into different factions, and the crick elves found themselves on the receiving end of some violence from dragons who were trying to conquer the living wood to take it for themselves. And we had to decide if we were going to fight them or find a way to protect ourselves. And
you chose protection.
The old folks circle came to the very reasonable decision that if we had the power to
tuck ourselves away to protect ourselves without any fighting, then we might as well do it. And Sawyer's father was the deciding vote, and he elected for peace, which I think is noble. Honestly.
Who's his father?
His father is a man named Cooter. And the decision kind of tore his family apart. Sawyer resented his father. And I think in addition to whatever political feelings he has, all of this is very personal to him. His dad was afraid of him being a ranger, was afraid of him going out and getting into fights. And I think Glenn Sawyer, whatever you want to call him, thinks that maybe Cooter made that decision to protect him. But I know Cooter, and I know that's not why he did it. We came to a decision. Sawyer was part of a crew that was not happy about it, and he ended up leaving the Crick. And many people, I mean, all those dragon elves you see out there in their blue masks, red mask, green masks, some of them are Crick elves.
Like that defected from the Crick?
Yeah.
So it was like a fractious decision.
For sure, yeah.
And what about now? Are you prepared for a fight? Because it seems as though it's coming to you. I got this note from him. Got this note from him. It wasn't to me. But, I mean, he seems to think that he effectively brought war to you.
You see, you look around. You haven't seen any, like, huge, huge dragons, like any kind of, like, ancient dragons. You haven't even seen an adult dragon yet. But you see that they have a lot of dragons. There are a lot of wormlings around, a lot of young dragons around.
And are
you
those see... red ones from Beatrix's?
Beatrix?
Lavericks.
Lavericks.
Did the ones that...
Yeah, they needed a place. And there's always a place at the Crick.
Okay.
We helped rehabilitate some of the injured dragons and... We gave some of the ones that were being hunted a place to stay.
Okay, so I like see all these dragons and it seems like...
You see, yeah, she goes, it would be foolish for anybody to come fight us.
That's sick. That's a really sick thing to say. It's kind of
fucking sick. That's pretty mad. It would be silly
for
them.
Can I borrow that someday when I'm like really strong?
Of course.
Okay, yeah. Great. I'm not there yet.
Hey, you're, you know, finding this serpent from another world. And you're able to connect with it.
It's actually a serpent from my world.
From the Feywild?
Yeah. It was being traded. I stole it away and then I gave it to fucking Glenn. Like an absolute fucking idiot.
Well, that's not stupid. I mean, serpent eggs are quite similar to dragon eggs. You try to give it to the dragon elves. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, it makes sense, but it was still wrong.
I think you did a really good job.
I'm feeling better about where I am right now than I was a day ago, so.
She pets the serpent and goes, good, you should. And, you guys see, it starts to get kind of late into the night. Saul and Calder... are drinking do you go back, Calder?
No,
you don't go
not.
Back?
I am learning about Emmett's parents. I am learning about Emmett's siblings.
Yeah, so the thing is that Crick Bullywug parents, they actually are really nice, and that makes me resent them because kindness I can kind of see as being a weakness.
Right.
Because sometimes, you know, the other dragon elves, like, they'll come and they'll fight us and stuff like that, and I'm like, we should go
Calder's
out there
doing a river dance with
ass.
Bumpy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is real fun. We're having the time of our lives.
This is the best night of my life.
Yeah.
So I was, like, nodding his head and, like, looking over Emmett's shoulder, trying to see what's going on. Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Yeah, it's nuts, so... Anyway, I thought hospitality was kind of weakness until I realized that wrestling is emotions when you told me that.
It can be, and I have so much more to teach you tomorrow.
All right, we going to bed or...
it's my friend over there, and, like, I got to touch base with him, but, like, I want you to, like, really think about, like, everything that we talked about.
Let's go get him.
Let's go get him?
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
You see Emmett and Saul walk over.
Oh, hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey,
what's up?
You too.
Yep, yep. Oh, we're just getting deep into it.
I was just about to fetch you that drink. I feel like a jerk. I totally forgot. Excuse me.
Oh, maybe, you know what? I'm going to go get it. Your drink is empty.
No, it's not.
No, it is. You see, he just pounds your drink.
Emmett, that was good. That was really
Thanks,
good.
Thanks, man. You see, Bumpy goes, do you want to get out of here?
Desperately, I want to leave.
Are able to leave because Bumpy takes over with Emmett, and he just doesn't show up at the camp. And you guys return to the serpent just outside of the crick.
Bumpy.
As Meemaw continues working.
Cool. I give Callie a jug of crick water.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank fucking God.
I just come in.
They make it strong here. This is straight from the source. Yeah.
Sorry about that. We met Emmett.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't start a fight with you.
Oh, I started a fight with him, and then...
Sometimes you got to strike first.
Yeah. Yeah. It was something much worse than a fight in the end. A friendship.
All right. You're friends with Emmett now.
I think so.
I don't know what that means yet, but it is true.
He's kind of a nasty guy.
Well, in nasty times ahead.
Yeah.
Could maybe use him. Who knows? Right. Anyway.
Meemaw continues her work. You see some of the old folks, these other druids wearing these like druidic robes, continue to help her work on the ritual.
Is there anything we can help with?
Nope. You guys want to get some sleep before you go meet a god?
I could stay up for a little while longer, I guess. I'm not that tired.
You're rubbing your eyes, man.
I'm afraid to go to bed. Callie, when you were annihilating Venomol.
Again, I was completely passed out. I did very little.
Well, whatever you did or didn't do, I did use... this cursed helm a lot.
Yeah, of course. I take some crick water. I'll grab some like passion flower from vines on the trees or whatever, make you a little soporific cocktail, and I bless and bardic you.
That's great. This smells amazing.
Okay. You bless and bardic. So what do you have 10 charges, correct?
Yes.
You've got bless, you've got bardic. Is everybody going to bed for the night?
I trance.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Callie goes into a trance.
I'm going to give Calder my scarf.
Thank you.
You know what? You run cold. Thought you might need it. It won't help at all, but it's nice. All I can do.
It's a nice gesture.
I also put Foster in your lap.
Mm. Hey, buddy.
Just to make sure that the snake doesn't attack you.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
See it hovering near Calder.
What did I do to you?
Yeah, Saul's going to fall asleep knitting in a corner.
Sweet.
Yourself a new scarf.
I'm not giving this back.
I was actually making a bra for Callie.
Callie's eyes fill with tears. You are reminded that she is still a rainy day ladrette. Oh,
there are little nanner flies on the pattern.
Saul crochets, Callie goes into her trance. Yeah, you guys set up like a little campfire just outside the creek here, and you guys get ready and you go to sleep in your bedrolls.
Since I only have to trance for 4 hours, though, can I kind of like keep an eye, watch him get into REM?
Sure.
Kind of like basically delay it. I have no clue what I would do if things go bad, but just I only have to trance for 4 hours, so I just want to be
of course
watching him.
Gonna hold your sleep action.
You're ready. You're watching Calder.
Can you hang out with me till I fall asleep?
Yeah, I can actually. Okay. I take out my bird pipes. Let Adam Duritz.
Hey, yeah.
Love you to sleep.
Yeah. Rain King.
The last thing you hear is yeah, as everything goes dark and you finally fall asleep. And you
I picture this being like the camera on your face as then you like tip into my lap, right? Can't you kind of see that? Okay.
Yeah, I hand you a piece of paper.
I drew you this.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Saul challenged a bullywug to a fight?
You really see beyond the line.
It's your drawing. It brings it to life.
Calder, you fall asleep. Everything goes dark.
And once again, it's like you blink and you open your eyes and you are on this frozen plain. You see in this force cage across from you is Ultras.
Hello, little mouse.
You see he starts banging on it. Okay. And you hear a sound like he's banging on a door and you see cracks in the force field.
Let me in.
Easy does it. I'm trying to go to sleep.
Let me in.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a constitution saving throw. This one is a DC 17.
17.
You have bless and bardic.
Yeah, that is a D4 and a D8.
Yeah.
So why don't we roll the D20 first, and then we can go from there.
Here's the D20.
Shout out to the 2 crew.
So that's what, a 9?
That's a 9.
Okay. Okay.
You have
so you need to get 8 and a 4?
No. You just need 8. You need 8 total. Eight.
Okay.
Between the Bardic Inspiration.
Jesus fucking Christ.
And the D4.
It's possible.
It's definitely on average that. Oh, no. It's not. Yeah. On average, you're not going to do
it. I have a slim margin.
Chances are you're not going to do this. So, yeah, you see boom, 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 streaks going through the force cage. Go ahead and roll the blessed dice.
All right. I think about Callie putting me to sleep and the cocktail. That's a 2.
Okay, so that's 11. So you need to roll a 6 or higher on the D8.
Oberon.
Fuck me. Okay. I feel the warmth of Saul's scarf. And I cling to Foster. That's a 6.
Christ, dude.
Jesus.
The Cali, and you made a joke that the Cali cocktail was bad.
No. I said the real life version of a smoky cocktail is usually not that good. But the cocktail was so necessary. Calder, you see like spider webs through the force field. And you've had kind of like a funny back and forth, just kind of like playful with Ultras in the past. But as he gets close,
let me out, you fool. I'm coming for you.
Yeah, Calder is like shaken to his core and he backs all the way up away from
you. Back all the way up.
Falls down on his ass.
You fall down on your ass in this snowy plain, scrambling back on your hands. You see the force field shatters and he begins taking off after you on foot, just sprinting towards you.
I have you now, little mouse.
He goes up, he runs, he dives to grab you and... You wake up and it's morning.
Did anyone else
sleep
like shit?
Did he have a good night of sleep?
Meemaw's hanging right over you.
Oh my God, was that it? Was that a full 8?
Calder, you woke up and ran like 10 laps around the creek.
Yeah, you still got like 2 hours more to sleep. I saw you get up and you started running and then scrambling back and saying, please, please, no.
Last night was a close call. It was a really close call.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're sweating.
Am I really? That's the first time I've ever done that.
Huh. It's a warm sweat, too. You'd think it'd be cold.
What happened?
Ultras, there's always been a barrier between us, but it's broken down. The only thing that saved me last night was your cocktail.
Do you think he's trying to get to me? Because you've kind of mentioned that he's like...
I would ask him, but I'm honestly a little afraid right now.
Okay.
But let's assume yes.
Did he say, like, Callie, here I come, or anything like that?
He didn't say anything that romantic.
Calder starts crying a little bit.
Hey, it's okay.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Meemaw, do you have any dream druids here?
Dream druids? Yeah, you see, Meemaw's got, she's got this like teleportation circle set up. You see, there are all of these older elf druids, and you see, Meemaw nods and points to one of them, goes like, "Yeah, Eloise is a dream druid."
Can I talk to her?
Of course. You see Eloise comes over. What's going on?
Hi, Eloise. I'm so sorry you're making a teleportation circle, but we have a friend who sort of got like a contentious relationship with someone in his dreams.
All right.
And I was...
Hello.
Just breathe. Oh, breathe, buddy. Right. Breathe, buddy.
Hey, Sir Calder. Good night, Mama.
Do you have a scary dream?
Just
say
it, Mima.
Take Foster. Take Foster.
I hold him up so he can't
imagine.
You're the champion of a lot of people.
I'm a big boy.
That's so good.
Eloise comforts you, kind of rubs your head.
That's good. So you've got a presence that you're dealing with.
Yeah, yeah. It's a giant who lives in my helm who wants to conquer me, and I think take my body.
Can you take the helm off?
Not really.
She nods.
I think I sought you out because I wanted to know if you had like any magic for, like, that I should be working for, so that like if something happens to him, I can find him in his dreams or something like that.
Or maybe even some sort of helmet that we could wear so we could like dreamwalk together with him.
Interesting.
Yeah, we do have... Oh, that's fucking genius. I was thinking I wanted a helmet, and I didn't know how to ask. That's so good.
They don't make helmets for frogs, is the thing.
I think if you wanted something to be able to kind of connect your minds, to be able to dream together, I could work on something for you.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I could have it ready in probably a couple days.
We'll give you our measurements.
Calder winces when he hears days.
Ooh. I lie and say my head is tinier than it is.
It's not. Point of pride.
Extra small.
Extra small head. All right.
Calder clocks Callie's head.
Actually, like XXS.
A baby? You want a baby helm?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe make it a snapback just in case.
You see Eloise says that she'll be able to make something for you guys in the coming days.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Of course. Yeah. Should I pledge myself?
I just think, like, maybe I just cool knees. It.
Oh, there you go. Pledge myself to you.
And I see Mama nearby. What's going on over here?
Nothing. Nothing.
Mima looks up. What's he doing?
Nothing.
He's pathological at this point, Calder.
Mother, he pledged himself to me. Oh, come, how are you? You just pledged yourself to everybody.
Himself to you?
Strangely, no. And I'm starting to wonder about that. Huh. I guess, does that mean that you think of us as equals?
No, I'm not above it.
Oh, there he goes. Yep. how does he get so low?
Lower each time.
You really can just grovel.
If you're gonna punch yourself this much.
All right. Are y'all ready to go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see that Mima is pouring various... it looks like she had bottled a bunch of stuff that she had put together last night, like these potions that she had kind of made with the help of the other druids. They start passing it along. You see she takes these tinctures and pours them into a cauldron and then wraps them up into like a big cloth. You see that Bumpy comes to see you guys off. You see she hands the cauldron with the cloth to Pinochle.
Pinochle.
And Pinochle flies up into the air with it, and you see that she looks up to two nearby trees, and she goes, Blanche! Barlow! Assume the position! You see these two trees begin moving, revealing themselves to be tree ants. You hear huge creaks as their giant oaken branches extend. You see Meemaw nods to a chippermunk who climbs up a nearby tree. And a moment later, it signals Pinochle to fly by. And Pinochle drops the cauldron so that it waters the two tree ants with the concoction that Meemaw was just putting together. And you see as the potion hits their leaves, they begin to shimmer and shine with power as their leaves and branches twist and turn to make an elaborate gate. The perimeter of it glows as the branches intertwine. The glow intensifies until building to a flash, and when it settles back to a normal glow, you can see beyond it a blurry passage into a new world. You could just make out various shapes of like large beasts from afar and like greenery.
Wow. Duck Troop, take notes. That was an incredible performance.
And Meemaw looks at you guys and goes, now be careful. Oberon is
friend to nature. He can be an ally to druids, but he typically does not like humanoids. Now, you're bringing him his serpent, so you're different than most humanoids, but just know fighting him is not an option.
Okay.
I don't think I'm planning on it.
It's just a family reunion. That's all it is.
Some people came by and they told me about how you dealt with Emmett. And Emmett style's not going to work here.
Don't do it Emmett style?
Don't do it Emmett style.
I do see Emmett peeking out from behind that tree, so we should probably get going.
He came to see you off. We had to tell him that we were busy.
I don't think the way...
Emmett!
Yeah. Emmett, my friend wants to pledge himself to you.
You see Meemaw stops that from happening. No, I think Emmett needs to stay here.
Bumpy, do you want to come? It's been so great traveling with you.
You know, I think I might need to stick around the creek for a little bit, especially considering that we might have trouble brewing. We need to start getting ready in case there's an attack.
Okay, that makes sense. Oh, one quick thing. Eloise, if you could make my helmet look like a bowl cut in honor of my friend Bumpy, I would love that.
Helmet like a bowl cut. She takes notes.
She's great.
I'd like mine to look like a sunflower. Beret.
And you said the size was what?
XXX.
See, triple X. Do you want me to just put a little flower on your head, essentially?
Yeah. And I guess I'm realizing
like the whole thing is a sunflower. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, but you're saying XX small. Okay.
But it's the size of the top.
Yeah.
By the way, if all of these like adjustments are going to make the lead time longer, they can just be standard, right?
All right. Yeah. I was going to say a couple weeks.
Yeah.
A couple weeks.
Fuck. I think you should probably just wait for Bumpy's hair to grow out so you can use his actual hair.
All right.
Do you want to do a hand squeeze?
All right, do theater kid hand squeeze, and I guess let's go through.
Let's walk through this gate.
Sweet. You guys and the serpent and Foster step through the gate. You see the structure glows with magical power, and you feel the sensation of having a spell cast on you. There's a flash, and when your eyes clear, you are on the other side in the beast lands. And when you turn around, you see that the gate is gone. And really quickly, as the circle is starting to close, Mima goes, "Oh, I forgot to mention, you got to find a way out."
What?
Huh? And it closes.
Okay, that shouldn't be too hard. I'm sure that, you know, you bring a guy a snake, he's going to give you another favor in return.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just kick us out.
You guys see rolling hills of green behind you, teeming with life. Huge animals flying overhead and grazing nearby. Oh. You see birds the size of dragons.
Wow, that bird could kick my ass.
Yeah, you look overhead and you see a huge fucking bluebird. Like a bluebird the size of a young dragon. Just, ah!
Oh my God.
Jeez,
you know
it's like
what?
Three
I
Emmets.
Don't even want to leave.
Calder is just like, oh,
You see, Foster looks around kind of happily. Foster flaps around, looks excited. You see like enormous bobcats. Like they look like bigger than tigers hunting dire squirrels. Squirrels the size of like dogs just fighting back and forth. Nearby, extremely jacked cows and bulls are eating grass. Just absolutely fucking huge.
I pity that grass.
Everybody,
their routine?
Go ahead and give me perception checks.
Muscle milk, I guess.
10.
17.
Ugh, another 3.
Okay.
Comes a 7.
You guys look around, and on the one side, you guys have these rolling hills with all these animals. And on the other, you see that the landscape sharply drops off a cliff. And you see that you are quite high up here. You can look down and you see miles of beast lands from here. It looks like you're on a giant floating island. You can see white fluffy clouds off the sides that look like they just go off into like a misty abyss. And on the circular island itself, you see that the terrains and climates of the different sections change sharply. There's like no transitional area. It looks like you can be bordering one area that's jungle and then kind of just step into desert on your next stride. You see that there are several suns and moons in the sky surrounding the floating island in various states of setting and rising. And you see the centerpiece of the entire island is an enormous tree with gnarled branches and roots. And you see that Foster and the serpent seem to be looking over in that direction.
I think I just pointed out to everyone, looks like that tree is our destination.
Yeah, that grandpa tree over there.
Okay, yeah. Wow, this place is insane.
Yeah, I was like just getting used to the living wood, and this is like 10 living woods all wrapped together. I feel like I'm breaking out in hives or something. It might just be the nanoflies, though.
You are breaking out in hives.
Oh, God.
You see the blue jays hovering above Saul.
Oh, shit, they love
He's
hives.
Looking more worm-like than ever. Somehow not the serpent.
Yeah, let's get into that.
Yeah, I'm used to being smaller than everything, but this is ridiculous.
This is ridiculous.
You guys board the Serpent Express, and you guys fly off towards the tree in the center. And as you do, you feel the quick shifting of climates and wind patterns as you glide from one area to another, before finally settling in the shade of this enormous tree. And you guys, as you get close, you see a face carved into it. It looks like a primordial Eladrin, much taller and wider than someone with elven ancestry. Looks like a giant elf, essentially. And as you guys are looking at this face, as you see it, as you approach this tree, you suddenly feel rain falling down on your head.
Is it me?
Kelly?
I don't know.
You feel these droplets. You look at them. It is not you, Callie. It is blood, specks of red, falling from the branches above.
Ow. Hold on. Yeah.
That's not me.
Saul gets out the scarf he was working on and starts wiping himself off.
As you guys look up, you see an Eladrin gutted and hanging upside down, being bled out like a hunter would do to a deer. And that's where we'll end our session.
What? No, whoa. No, I roll for investigation. I roll.
Nope, sorry.
I'm holding the dice in my hand, I
it
beg you.
It has to end on the creepy thing. I'm so sorry.
Honestly,
we can discuss theories on this mysterious Eladrin on the short rest.
Oh, yeah, we have a short rest where we surely, talk about what happened in the episode.
Surely incredibly important. Head on over to our short rest. You can get that over on patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Do not sing it. Don't do it. Sorry. Do it. Does anybody have anything?
No.
Does anybody?
Oh,
everyone shut up. Everyone shut the fuck up.
Wee. Ship's coming in.
Shut up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to plug?
I will plug nadpod.com/live.
Ooh, I love that. I love that part of our website.
I think that there are live shows.
Yeah.
We got live shows on the horizon.
We definitely have live shows. They're on the horizon. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know what? Buy tickets to Nashville. I think all the other ones are sold out.
Whoa.
Just Caldwell's hometown, huh?
Yeah.
Better fucking show up for me, guys.
You guys better show up.
I thought you were fucking popular at school, yeah. Dude.
I told you multiple times I wasn't. I did improv.
Oh, God. So check out nadpod.com/live for those.
Yeah. I will, let's see. Yeah, I'll shout out some stuff from our P.O. box, if that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Charles T. sent us some Campaign 3 art they did, including a very sexy Saul, and more importantly, 4 McDonald's toys based on the 90s cartoon, The Mighty Ducks.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you are old enough to remember those, but they were like the little hockey pucks with ducks on them, and you could like wind them up and let them go. So you know we're going to be playing with those.
Oh, yeah.
AJ, a.k.a. At Montoya Sin, sent us a bunch of cool 3D printed stuff, including an item called the Wand of Lifestealing, complete with homebrew item description.
Mm.
It's really rad. Yeah.
Very cool stuff.
I'm going to be using it next episode. So get excited.
You're going to kill Oberon.
Had it in my back pocket. Let's see. Michael C, a.k.a. the bad boy, a.k.a. the creator of Dice Person, sent us the rules for a game they invented, aptly named Dice Person.
Nice.
Okay.
It's great. It involves rolling dice, doing chuck checks.
Whoa. Do they just create
I'm in.
It?
I'm in. I Say think it, no more. I'm in.
Wait. There is more.
Oh, okay.
And it's even greater because... you win. When you win, you get a hat bestowed upon your head, and the winner gets to say, I am the dice person.
Wow.
Chuck checks and hats.
It's the perfect game.
Yeah.
Tom H. and Megan F. sent us authentic Church of Dice Christ D20 rosaries and a holy you stole with a God. 1 in 20 at the ends.
Are they guaranteed authentic?
Yeah, yeah. No, all they've right. been blessed in the water.
Awesome. Wow. All right. Wow. Gotta be blessed in the water.
Checks out then.
Yeah, thank you for these raiments. We will be donning them for our next court session. Ben Piper sent us a copy of their book, Welcome to Fabulous Cyberslavia, and also a huge packet of homebrew stuff from Murph based on the work of Brandon Sanderson.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, cool.
I promise I didn't peek at any of it, Ben. So, Murph, you're free to use it. Thank you so much for everyone that sent us stuff. 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90027 is our PO box if you'd like to send us things.
Sweet. Thank you all so much for listening. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at CHVersMe, at Caldy's Caldwell, at EAstroDemily, and at Jake Rotes Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation. We are. The youth of the nation.
Yeah.
It is once again the end of our episode, which means it's once again time to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders. Let's get right to it. Jeffrey S., UC, Later McSkater, Matt M., Jordan DJ, Cutter W., Daniel G., The J-Pod, Dylan B., who is selling a Galad trading card for 100 brown leaves. Dungeon Mama, parentheses, not sexual. Danielle, the Dastardly Dame. Beardman Dan. Danny P. Michael McD. Vincent W. Miss Ter Cole. Victor T., a.k.a. Balnor's Boy. Dominic P. Andrew B. Justin I. Ragnar Fairwind. TJM. Trey Lay, the Cray. Christopher B., Damiel R., Brianna B., cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Jerry, master of the Guy Horn, Richard X. Machina, Michael L., Taylor S., Callum L., Jack L., Sam L., Nicholas C., Thaddeator Le Gladiator, Samuel B., Mike H., Matthew E., Angry Wheat, and I started a work volleyball team called Duck Team. We fucking suck. Keep up the bad work. So excited for you, Angry Wheat. Adam G., Tyler F., Faust the Feisty, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, nope, sorry, just Andrew, the Druid here, all good by me, Adrian the Halfling Bardificer, Rex Daniel the White, Captain Sigil, Diana Delos Lopez, CC Lulu, Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R., Lucas B., Reiko, It's Kevin, Cody B., Calder's Cold Cum, hashtag rise my comrades, spread the camaraderie, wow, KDW, Taylor B., the Vengeful One-Winged Angel, Cass Skateboard Cass, Captain of the Stevens, Stephen Cole, Mike K., Lady Taco, Brian G., Joy T., Nara, K., Jake L., Nick W., Brave the Badger, Foster the Ghostly Duck says, Happy Halloween, whack, 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 Aaron the Asshole Ranger, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Eric McD., Giant Monsters on the Horizon, Galad Roselle, the White Rose of Galaderon, Christian A., J. Dragonborn, Joro, the Inapropro, Liam D., the Sandrayan, Ben A., Feldonis, John the Third, Dave H., Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S., David K., Christian S., Dustin S., Connor F., Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant, Izzy F., who is planning a Feywild-style engagement party. Well, that sounds like a night to remember. Have fun. The Time Walker, Marky Mark, the Marvelous Mining Engineer, Cat C., Kelsey J., Porkchop, Misa of House Inzunza, Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N., a.k.a. Velaciraptor, Be Perky Always, Pat L., Achutha A., Lauren H., Ryan S., the Bone Duster, Annie M., the Crochet Crafting Queen, the Charming Fluff, Robot Crisps, Telekitty Creations Fan Illustrator, insert request here. Oh, wow, that was a juicy episode. I'd have to either go with Callie having a meet and greet with the serpent, or, of course, Saul hanging out with his best buddy, Emmett. Up to you. Ploops, Carly A., Addie K., AP Cleric,
Lori P. Just a raccoon that has a gun. Normal. I love it. Connor S. Christopher J. Pebblepot. To the Do Riders, my first D&D party. May all our adventures be wondrous. Thank you for being my friends. Ah, so sweet. Salil, Leviathan, BioQuirt 7, Amber Dextrist, Sullivan H, Trob Hop Dropper, Sydney Tatum, Jack Hubert, Strong Caldwell Conspiracy Theorist. Thank you, my friend. Keep spreading the word. Fanderay says at CH Murph, who's a nasty little pee-pee boy. Your words, not mine. Garble the Moist. Lindsay W. Juicy Kiwi. Seeing NADPOD live for the second time this year. Hell yeah, second time's a charm. Champ Wild. Valen. Beep. Carlin C. Emily S. Cody and Tiari P. Pendergreen's roommates. Wow, so brave. Harry Cox. Noah, the bagel of all things. Justin LeBee. Tori. Levi L. Dandy. Miss Bunny. Marcos P. Jordan P., the occasional crit reporter. Learns, the balance druid. Dakota James P. Frida M. Pagos, self-proclaimed Fae Prince. Tracy P., the Crick Elf Librarian. Friar Frizzed. Andy E. Holly H. Kristen Z., the I will use what you love against you DM. Incredible. Leia C. Paige H. Helen of Briz. May B. Pixel Stars. Akash T. Kristen with a K. Cal, just Cal. Commodore Galaxy. Edison N. Russell H. A monk named Dilgo. Yes, the whole thing. Yes, every time. Neos, the novice monster hunter. Our strangely familiar new friend Simon. We all had a shared dream and we sang and listened to Artemis and Parzival by Gunship. Cool song. Patrick, Nate H. Michael, the Esri pop idol. Morgan M., appealing sticker. Stephen E., happy belated birthday, Calvin. Sorry the Vancouver NADPOD live show got pushed 8 months. We're sorry too, but that's just how it is sometimes. Happy birthday, Calvin. Sydney and Andrew L., John Adams. Yes, like the president. Wow, what an honor. Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia. James F., Cap'n Cappy. M4L., Wayfarer. Currently in a trademark dispute with Mothership over the patent on the SS Storm Bjorn. Good luck. Andrew B., Cope Fresh. Barpo, Good Barrel, the Barbarian and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep. Welshlander. Garrett G., a.k.a. One Big Curd. Eric M., Mr. D., Dana Daisy, Mr. Sillyhead, Monster Captain Renee S., Hop, the Dancing Rabbit, Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope. Olivia, the enchanting bard, who will totally be making money and a grand novel off of the Duck Team Tales with an on-the-go, all-the-stop show. Blue Slade, the Artificer. Michaela R., Riley S., Sir Sig 93, Fico, Angry Wheat. The game itself, just trying to find himself. Damn. Tony G., Corbo's Calamitous Cumshot, hashtag CCC forever. Sorry, Jake. All right, all right, all right. Josh H., Jack, the Jack's Jinxing Rogue on the run with Bohemia's balls. Come back here with my balls! A horse killed by Hard One. Mango Empanadas. Timidar. Yes, I'm the twin brother of Dimidar. No, I'm not proud of it. Rented Mules. Trogdar, the Burninator. Clementine T. Caleb L. Simone tried whiskey and liked it. Morgan. Hell yeah. Welcome aboard the good ship whiskey. This message has been brought to you by fairies in support of hashtag CCC. Oh God, their number keeps growing. What are we going to do? Henke, the arcane trickster goose. Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie-wearing barbarian with a bad back. Papa Wookie. MJ, the BFG drinking tea by the sea. Little Ferret Pal. Samantha K. A Big Squid. Cronus Maximus. Gino T. Squid Minty. Aiden F. Crichton McInn. Fae Father, Father of the Fae. Mama Bell. Miko, the Noid Elf. And Sheldon, the Mushroom Turtle. Whew, thank you all so, so much for your continued patronage. We love you all. You honor us. If you would like to join this illustrious number, go to patreon.com/nadpod. That is all from us for this week. We will see you again soon. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.